Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
Awesome. Good morning. Good morning, all. Yes, we have just come back from Hillsong. Hillsong was great this year, and if any of you, and I know many of you will be planning to go next year, so it's all the registration is done online now, so you can register yourself and just put down Rick Painter as your group leader, and that would mean that we'll all be sitting together if you would like to come to Hillsong this year. You know, it's fabulous because it's like a spiritual retreat. You get away from, you know, the everyday for, it's 4 days. And just soak in the presence of God and in great teaching for that time. If you've never been, can I encourage you to come along next year? I think you'll find it will grow you from the inside out and you'll have a wonderful time. Well, we're in at the second week of our series, Write Your Story. And basically, this is just a selfish excuse for me to look at films because I love films and I love stories that are told in films. And I thought it would be wonderful just to spend a bit of time looking at some of my favourite films, because that's all that really matters, really. But I said last week that I heard a wonderful quote that said, the shortest distance between the truth and the human heart is a story. And Jesus was a storytelling God, and we're actually going to concentrate on some of those stories later on this year in September. We'll be teaching through some of Jesus' stories, but this series is an excuse to tell stories. Now, I need to tell you before I get into it that next week, please don't miss next week. I'm so excited. Next week, we have two very special things. One is the beautiful Tina Waldrum is coming to speak to us next week. Now, she is a pastor at City Life Church in Melbourne and has an absolute passion for reaching people with the story of Christ. And she'll be here. She spoke at our Camp No Fear a couple of years ago, and the kids just fell in love with her. And also, our wonderful drama team, when I told them we were doing this series about stories, I challenged the drama team and said, do you reckon that your team could tell their story in 1 minute? Not the whole team, just each individual. So they've been challenging themselves to be able to tell their story about Jesus in 1 minute. So we're going to see creatively what they do with that next week. So I'm looking forward to that. Let's just do a little bit of a recap of what we did last week. Now, the first thing is the big thought. The big thought that we started with. And the big thought was this. Our character, in other words, who we are, is shaped to a great extent by the stories that captivate us, that have sunk into our souls. That's why I just love our God's Own team in particular, because right from an early age, they're taking these precious souls and they are sinking incredible stories into their hearts. And those stories, they're the ones that were sunk into my heart when I was a child. And they are the ones that have kept me walking with Christ for many years. Now, the big goal in this, I said right up front, is that we need to base our lives on the right story. Base your life on the right story. And it is not the one that you are writing for yourself. You know, the world says, get out there and write your own story, which sounds so brave and so amazing. But that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us the only story worthwhile is a story that Jesus has already written for us. And our task in life is just to step into that story because it's a good one. I'm not saying that it doesn't mean that there are hard times and difficult things, but ultimately the story that Jesus has written for your life is the only one. The only good one for you. And I also said last week that if we look at the scripture, there is really only one massive story that we are all living in, and it's all encompassing, and it looks a bit like this. God made it, we broke it, Jesus paid the price to fix it, and one day it will all be okay. I've just given you the whole Bible in 4 lines. So the theological words for that are creation, fall, redemption, eternity. And you know, that applies to each of us individually as well. We're created by God and we all walk away from him in some way. But Jesus' plan was always redemption, bringing us back and offering us the ultimate wonder of eternity with him one day. Now, that whole all-encompassing story of the Bible, I'll just turn into an advertorial for a moment. On the 30th of July, we are bringing a program called Walk Through the Bible to Gateway. There's going to be a video about it at the end of 60 seconds, so you'll see what it looks like. It's like nothing you've ever done before. It's 6 hours on a Saturday. It will be fun. You will learn more about the Bible than you probably have in all the years you've been reading it. And you will be glad that you went. So keep your eyes out for that at the end of 60 seconds. And I'm hoping that many of you will come along and join us on that day. I want to concentrate a little bit today on the first part of that great story, and that's creation. Because the whole philosophy or the whole theology behind creation is incredibly important. If we don't get that story into our soul right at the beginning, nothing else really works. Now, there are just a couple of verses from Genesis 1, and many of you would have heard these before. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created human beings in his own image. So important. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God looked over all he had made and he said, "It is very good." Now, we read those lines as we would maybe a Sunday school story, but it's incredibly important that we start with God creating mankind and putting us in a good world for his pleasure. If we don't believe that at the beginning there was something precious that was created by God, then we cannot get the whole idea of what's happening to this world. You know, we look around, we read that story and say, okay, God created this beautiful world. Well, can somebody tell me what in the heck went wrong? The stuff that's been happening in the news this week, just horrific. And it seems that every week at the moment, something horrific is happening. And something in our soul just screams out and says, God, you say that you created it, but why is it such a mess? And you will have friends who don't believe in God who will use this as their main reason for not believing in God. You say there's a good God. Well, tell me, why is the world in such a mess? But you know what I'd come back to them? I would say to them, how do you know it's in a mess? Why do you think this world is not the way it should be? Who told you it was supposed to be good? Who told you that this world is a mess? There is something in our DNA which tells us that originally this is not the way the world was supposed to be. And I believe that that's what we read about in the Bible. That maybe there is this memory in our DNA of the Garden of Eden. Now, whether you believe in that as an actual physical place or whether you believe that as a metaphor or a story about the way God created, it doesn't matter. What's really important is that God created it perfect and God created it good. Yeah. And mankind walked away and we messed it up. And there is something in our DNA buried, whether you believe in God or not, that says to the human, this is not the way it was meant to be. C.S. Lewis, now I've been told you can't have a good message without a C.S. Lewis quote. So, C.S. Lewis said this, and it's quite deep, so just hang with me for a minute. If there is a hunger in my soul that nothing on this earth can satisfy, then perhaps I wasn't meant for this world. Interesting quote. J. Genesis is not a science textbook, but it is a reflection of God's original creation. And he has promised that one day we will get back to that perfection. One day it will be restored. And I think that's part of our DNA as well. It's a DNA of hope, the belief that one day things will be right. You know, there's a genre of films that reflect this idea that there is this perfect world out there and then something comes in and ruins it, but we will move towards perfection again. Now, I was thinking about that. Some of these films are a little bit old, so maybe some of you don't know them, but the film Dances with Wolves. It was a Kevin Costner film, and it was set in the early days of America. And the Eden in that film was actually the life of the original American people, the American Indians. And you saw, you know, these scenes of the beautiful countryside and the buffalo and the American Indians just living in total harmony with their environment. And that was Eden, and of course, it was destroyed. Last Samurai, similar thing. When you saw Tom Cruise walking through that Japanese village for the first time and everything was just in perfect harmony. But one recent film that I really love, we're going to show a quick clip of it, when it talks about this dreaming of Eden idea, is Avatar. So let's have a look at a quick clip of that. When I see some of the scenes in Avatar, I just found my spirit just soaring. You know, it's almost like there's an ancient memory in my DNA, an ancient memory of a world that was beautiful and perfect, where I commune with my God without any interruptions. And I think even if people don't acknowledge God, there is an ancient memory in our souls, in our DNA. Mike Cosper wrote this quote, which I've put on your outline. These stories are like echoes and memories of Eden, where an intruder destroyed something pure and unspoiled. We're left lamenting a loss we don't fully understand. It's hard to articulate, something we feel in our bones and know most clearly when suffering strikes. We're like second-generation exiles who never knew the world they lost, but long for it nonetheless. I want to take you on a bit of a bizarre journey now, because I want to look at the opposite of the film we just saw. So hang in with me. These films are what we call flipping the fall movies. Flipping the fall. In other words, the opposite of what we've been talking about, this longing for our hearts to go back to perfection, to the way things were when God created them. But in flipping the fall stories, they're a genre of film where perfection is seen as boring, mundane, conformity, or even as evil and suspicious. And it's only as we rebel that we truly find ourselves. Now, if there are any absolute movie buffs in here, I wonder whether you can tell me the name of a film or two that might fit into that category. Pleasantville. How many of you have seen Pleasantville? It's an obscure little indie film, but if you have got your Netflix, go and have a look at it. It is the opposite of everything that we've been taught. It's a very interesting one where people live in this beautiful, pleasant place, but in actual fact, they're restricted, and what they really need is to get out and have sex with whoever they want. And then their lives will come alive. They actually literally go from black and white to colour. It's a really interesting film. I'm also thinking of films when it comes to this whole idea of rebellion, that you have to rebel in order to find yourself. It probably started with a film called Easy Rider, which was a very popular film in the, would have been late 60s, Mark, do you think? Yeah, 69, you know the actual date. Wow, okay. So Easy Rider was, you know, the guys out on their motorbikes and just cruising out on the road and finding absolute freedom. Thelma and Louise was a film where these two women got together and just rebelled against everything. And that's also part of this genre. You know, There is a common worldview out there. Now, you have heard this worldview in your friends and family, and maybe it's even inside you as well. Even followers of Jesus are tempted to fall into this. And here is what it looks like. You haven't really lived until you have dot, dot, dot. Now, for a Christian, we'd say, you haven't really lived until you have stepped into the purposes of Jesus Christ for your life, until you have experienced sacrifice, until you have got to the end of yourself and allowed Jesus to take over. That's what a Christ follower would say. But the worldview says this: you haven't really lived until you have broken the rules, until you have got totally blind drunk or got high, experienced drugs. You haven't really lived until you've done that. You haven't really lived until you've broken out of your sexual straitjacket and had a one-night stand or you know, just got promiscuous for a period of time. You haven't really lived until you've done that. You haven't really lived until you've travelled around the world and done some really stupid things, like jumping off mountains and stuff like that. You haven't really lived until you've done that sort of thing. And I know there are lots of people who would see their lives as a failure because they haven't broken out. Now, the classic example of this genre, and the one we're going to spend a bit of time on, is a brilliant film called The Truman Show. Now, I have loved this film ever since I saw it, but there was something about it that deeply troubled me. And I didn't understand why until recently. So we're going to have a look at a bit. Now, I'm assuming I don't need to explain the setup. Would most of you know Truman Show? Okay. If you've never seen it, ask the person next to you so that you understand this clip. But let's see. We're going to see about 12 minutes of Truman Show. Then we're going to come back and talk about it. Did anybody else find that film strangely disturbing? When I see the image of the Creator written as this cruel manipulator who has kept people in this absurd bubble and kept them away from real life, oh my goodness, that is a flipping the fall story. Yeah. It's the exact opposite. You know, when I read the Bible, I see that the whole, most of the world is caught in this evil bubble of thinking that there is no God and there is no goodness and it's all about self and finding out who we really are on the inside. And then I see us breaking out, stepping through that door into the kingdom of God, not out of it. Because when we step into the kingdom of God, that's where we find truth and goodness and reality. But that film has it all around the other way. You know, it's supposed to be a tale of heroic rebellion, and Truman escapes from naivety into reality and liberation with the hope of real love and real freedom. And this is seen as the bravest of actions. You know, we cheer as he leaves. We cheer as he finally finds freedom. And I had this image of God. If this is like the Garden of Eden, if we're in the Garden of Eden and everything we have, God has given us everything that we need, and then we turn our back on him and we walk through that door. Do you think God was cheering? Do you think he cheers when we do that, when we walk away? And there will be people in this room now who are in that place. Or will be, when you decide that the perfection and the goodness and the reality that God has given you is not enough, that there is something else outside which is better. You know, the fall was not an occasion for cheering. The fall was when heaven wept for every one of us who would not know what it was like to be in the arms of a loving God. The ultimate lie of Satan, and it's on your outline, the ultimate lie of Satan is that only in rebellion can we find self-fulfillment. Only in rebellion can we find self-fulfillment. It's a lie that what Adam and Eve did wasn't a sin. It was actually a brave act of liberation. What this attitude misses is that true fulfillment was available for us in the Garden of Eden. God had given us everything we need, but mostly he had given us his presence, and it was the ultimate trick of Satan to make us believe that there was more outside of God's presence. What about you? Do you, and I'm speaking some of our young people as well, but it applies to all of us. Do you feel that if we live God's way, you'll be settling for a boring, unadventurous life? Do you feel that you need to sin in order to really feel alive? Can I tell you now, and this is the most important thing, the fall was a choice for less, not more. The fall was a choice for less, not more. To walk away from God's good plan for your life is a choice for less, not more. I met a guy in Varda the other day, had a quick conversation with him, and it broke my heart. He was a businessman in Frankston who... He and his wife and child had started coming along to Gateway quite a few years ago, and they had settled into the community, and they were telling me they loved the community, they loved the worship, they felt the presence of God. They were with us for about 6 months and then no more. And I spoke to him and said, "Oh, I haven't seen you for a long time." He said, "Yeah, look, it was great to be part of Gateway for a while, but you know, we got what we needed." I wanted to scream at him, "You have not even started to get what you need." He had walked away. He had made a choice for less, not for more. And it broke my heart. Paul, the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, prays for us that we will grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. All right, let me give you three so whats. Because I was thinking about it this week. I thought, so what? What does it mean to have this worldview that God has given us? First one, if you are the kind of person who suffers from FOMO. Now, FOMO, if you don't know, is fear of missing out. If you are the sort of person who is part of the church, I just want to say... stop it. Two words. Stop it. There is nothing outside the kingdom of God which you are missing. Don't make a choice for less. Taste and see that the Lord is good, that his kingdom is what you're longing for. And the church, when it is working well, should be our echo of Eden on this world until we see the real thing. And I've experienced its beauty, and so have you, that the lovely, unfashionable, uncool, and you are accepted and loved and given a place. And it's not because of your goodness or your talent, but just because God loves you. True fulfillment is found in a life of service and sacrifice and helping others. It doesn't sound very cool, but it is the only way to live our lives. Christ calls us to come and die to ourselves. But this is where you find life. It's his upside down kingdom. You know, I was a good little Christian girl, grew up in a Christian home. I had plenty of temptations to think that this was going to be a boring life and perhaps I should step outside of it and experience all the stuff that teenagers of my age were doing. But I don't know, there was just something in me that said, it's not worth it. What I experience in the kingdom of God is so beautiful and so true and so real. Why would I want to choose less and not more? There was a guy on the TV last night who was talking about he's just come through a gambling addiction, And here he is telling his story of losing $500,000, losing his wife and children to gambling. And at the same time, they juxtapose the ads that the TV puts on for sports betting. You know, cool guys that, you know, having fun at the pub and, you know, putting their bets on. Oh, it's a great life. It's fantastic. It's so much fun. And then you see the reality. This broken man. That is what the world, that's the bubble the world has got us in. You know, this is what real fun is. This is what real life is. This is crap. The kingdom of God is reality. The second one, if you're in a place of suffering, can I say to you, this is not your home. This is not your home. There is an eternity to come where everything will be set right. Just as spring follows winter, God's promise to us is restoration. Hold on to him. He is walking with you and he will never be closer to you than he is in the dark places. Thirdly, and I know there are many of you who will relate to this, if you are always dreaming of a better world, don't stop. If you are always dreaming of a better world, don't stop. That dream that you have in you of a better world, it's part of your DNA. It's part of your longing for Eden. So it's okay to be discontented, but let it be a holy discontent. Let God break your heart for the same things that break his. Injustice, ugliness, cruelty, poverty, suffering, sadness, meaningless lives lived in the pursuit of pleasure, excitement, and wealth. Let the story of your life be one of the steps you took to drag this broken world back to Eden, step by step. We can't fix everything, but we can move our little worlds a little bit closer to Jesus. Don't settle for a cheap and nasty imitation of living. Christ followers, this is your gift to the world. We have a story, and we've been commissioned by Jesus to be storytellers, to live that story out in our lives, to tell this grand story of hope. And this is why the church exists, to tell the only story that really matters. And we had it last week. I'll put it up again. You were made by God. You were made for God. You have a purpose, a mission to fulfill, and you have an invitation to eternity with him. One day, we will experience that wondrous awe as we walk through his kingdom. And I'm telling you, the most wondrous imagination of any filmmaker will be nothing on what we will see. Oh my God, how beautiful you are. Don't write your own story. It's not a patch on the one God is writing for you. Choose the best. We're going to come to a time of communion now. Your worship team, if you want to come out and join us. And you know, communion is really the enactment of a great story. And every time we share communion, which is juice, and which represents the blood of Jesus, and it's a little wafer that represents the body of Jesus. Every time we share communion, we tell that story again. We tell it to our souls. We tell our souls that we were worth dying for, regardless of our brokenness, regardless of our selfishness, we were worth dying for. As we share communion today, can you write that story on your heart? Let Jesus write that story on your heart. God, I was worth dying for. And your plan for me is more, not less. Your plan for me is good. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.